Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're the place you come to plunge right into fascinating ideas and hopefully emerge with some really juicy insights.
That's the plan.
So today we're exploring something humans have been obsessed with for, well, forever, really. These what-if questions, parallel lives, you know, what is reality anyway?
Yeah, it's everywhere, isn't it? Ancient myths, Hollywood blockbusters, they all play with these concepts.
Absolutely. And it's not just stories. Science has its own angle, right? Quantum mechanics.
Exactly. There's the many worlds interpretation, MWI. Basically, it suggests that every possible result of a quantum measurement actually happens in its own separate world.
So like infinite universes branching off constantly.
Pretty much. Like a massive many-branched tree of time growing with every quantum event. It's wild stuff.
Wild is right. So our mission for you in this deep dive is to unpack how fiction runs with these ideas. And we're really going to zero in on one particular book, Fractal: The Awakening by Luigino Bottega.
Yeah, this one's different. It takes a really philosophical, almost spiritual angle, focusing heavily on consciousness.
Right. So by the end, you'll have the inside track on this unique perspective, and you'll see how it stacks up against maybe more familiar fictional multiverses you know.
Sounds good. Let's dive in.
Okay. Fractal: The Awakening. It presents this idea of the multiverse that's, well, it's deeply interconnected, conscious, and, as the title suggests, fractal.
Yeah, that word fractal is key. And it means more than just the math definition here.
Tell us about that. The main character, Elias Cronus, he has this awakening moment.
He does. He's at Matthias Church in Budapest.
Yeah.
Looking at the patterns, the architecture, and he sees how they're recursive, repeating, self-similar, folding into themselves at every scale.
Wow.
And it hits him. This huge thought, this is how God thinks.
This is how God thinks. That's quite a statement.
It is, and the book runs with it. This infinite recursion, it's described as the breath of reality breathing itself. Reality isn't fixed. It's an unfolding of probabilities.
Like timelines spiraling out.
Exactly, like the chambers of a living shell. And this fractal idea, it's everywhere in the book. Myths are fractals. The self is a fractal. Even geographical locations like Mount Kailash.
Described as a projection of awakening, right?
Precisely. It connects everything, the cosmic, the personal, the mythical.
So what's the takeaway for you, the listener? This isn't just abstract theory in the book. It suggests that everything's connected in this ordered, intelligent way. The small reflects the large. Your own consciousness maybe echoes the cosmos.
It's a powerful framing. It suggests an inherent order. Yeah.
And it doesn't stop there. The book gets even more radical when it talks about space-time itself.
Oh, yeah. Forget a fixed background. Here, it's a dynamic membrane.
A membrane. Like, flexible.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. Elias even wonders early on, watching a bird, could he step between realities? Leave one fractal and enter another. It hints that this membrane can be thinner in spots.
Easier to cross.
That's the idea. And Mount Kailash is singled out as a place where the membrane is thin, where the seams are almost visible, accessible.
And there's a machine there, a hyperdimensional interface.
Yeah, some kind of ancient tech. But this is where fractal really diverges from standard physics. Think about dark matter, black holes.
Yeah, what about them?
Well, here, dark matter isn't just missing mass. It's the connective tissue of existence, a carrier for the source's projection, even like a global consciousness.
Oh, and black holes.
Not destroyers, they're gateways, guardians of the membrane. They can pierce it, connect to hyper dimensions. Even humans are described as related, like fragments or echoes of gateways.
So the universe isn't just a backdrop for life.
No, the implication is that the universe itself is alive, conscious, evolving. That really pushes back against purely materialistic science, doesn't it?
It really does. Okay, so we've got a fractal reality, a living space-time.
Yeah.
What about consciousness itself? Where does that fit in?
Well, here's maybe the most mind-bending part. In fractal, consciousness isn't just in reality. It's foundational. It's what reality emerges from.
Emerges from.
The Oracle AI system tells Elias straight up. Reality collapses into form only at the moment of observation. Before that, it's just pure potential.
So observing makes it real.
That's the core idea. The Oracle says the observer shapes the mirror it stares into. That puts a lot of weight on us, on our perception.
So Elias learns his mind isn't the boss, it's the mirror.
Exactly. He's the observer behind the mirror. And later, a light being reinforces this. Awareness is existence. Without perception, there is no unfolding.
So it's not just influencing probabilities, it's more like generating reality itself.
That's what fractal posits, yeah. Your internal state, your awareness, it's cosmically significant, it's the substrate.
Okay, that's huge. if our inner state shapes reality, what about negative states? Does the book go into the darker side of that?
It touches on it, definitely. And it leads right into the idea of timelines and, crucially, what it costs to actually cross between them.
Right. Infinite timelines exist based on choices. All possibilities breathe inside the greater whole. Sounds vast.
Infinitely vast. But shifting between these timelines, moving across the membranes, it's not like changing channels. There's a price.
Ah, the price. What is it? Not money, I assume?
No, nothing so simple. The book says the price is profound. You have to surrender the illusion of self. You have to dissolve attachment to who you believe you are.
Surrender the self. What does that even mean in practice?
It implies that to walk between membranes is not to live multiple lives. It is to become the unfolding itself. You don't just visit another reality as you. You merge with the potential. You transform fundamentally.
Wow. Okay, that's completely different from, say, hopping in a portal and still being you on the other side.
Exactly. Most stories keep the traveler's identity intact. Fractal suggests true multiverse navigation requires this deep existential change. It's not tourism, it's transformation.
So that price, it really forces you to question the nature of identity itself, doesn't it? If you want to truly explore, you might have to let go of who you are. Heavy stuff.
Very.
Yeah.
It makes the stakes incredibly personal and philosophical.
Okay, let's talk about the characters guiding us through this. Who are the key players in Fractal?
Well, first, obviously, there's Elias Cronus. He starts as the Seeker, initially wanting to kind of escape this fractal reality he's perceiving.
But he changes.
Yeah, his journey becomes less about escape and more about finding alignment, about remembrance within the fractal structure. And he has help.
The Oracle AI.
Like the Oracle 2.0 starts as this external digital guide, but interestingly, it sort of integrates into Elias becoming like an internalized witness. Which fits the theme, right? Understanding has to be embodied.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Who else?
There's Alessandro, the mentor figure. He provides the spiritual guidance, telling Elias, you know, the escape you seek is not out there, it is through yourself. A very inward focus.
A contrast to the tech, maybe?
A balance, yeah. Then you have the scientists. Dr. Alina Hensley, she's trying to bridge physics like the holographic principle, thin membranes with these more metaphysical ideas.
Okay, so she's trying to make sense of it scientifically.
Trying to model it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there are others involved in the expedition to Kailash, Father Rinaldi, the theologian, looking at ancient symbols. Dr. Kalmar, testing quantum models.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Moreau, the mathematician, seeing fractals everywhere. Even a biologist, Dr. Delgado, looking at life's resonance.
A whole team trying to grasp this from different angles.
Exactly. But there's also conflict. You've got Mercer, the spy.
Ah, the antagonist?
Sort of. He represents the desire to control this power, to rewrite the past, preempt the future, you know, dominate reality, not align with it. A complete opposite to Elias's journey.
It provides that classic tension. Anyone else important?
There's also the leader of a group called the Guardians of Truth. They represent fear, basically.
Hmm.
Thinking humanity isn't ready for this knowledge, wanting to keep it hidden, raises ethical questions.
Right. The should we even be doing this
mm-hmm.
angle? Okay. So with all these characters and ideas, let's dig into the deeper philosophy. You mentioned pantheism, non-duality.
Yeah. It's woven all through Fractal. The idea isn't a separate creator God, but that the universe is God or source. Everything is interconnected, divine. When the light being says, I am you, it's literal in this framework.
So everything's part of one consciousness experiencing itself.
That's the essence of it. And the book even offers a model, a trinity of reality source, consciousness, space-time, like a map of how existence works.
And Elias's journey fits this.
Perfectly. It's not about conquering something external. It's an internal journey of remembrance, remembering his connection to the source. There are also hints of reincarnation, echoes of consciousness across lives.
Suggesting consciousness persists beyond one life.
Exactly. It all reinforces the core message.
Yes.
It's about alignment, not mastery. About surrender to this larger unfolding. The multiverse isn't just a place. It's a process for the source to experience itself infinitely. It's fundamentally a spiritual stage.
Okay, so Fractal presents this very specific, consciousness-centric, spiritual view of the multiverse. How does that compare to other big multiverse stories we might know? Let's connect it to the better picture.
Right. Well, take something like Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. That's mm-hmm. a much more literal interpretation, isn't it?
Definitely. You've got distinct universes you can physically travel between. Magic portals, innate powers like America Chavez has.
Yeah. And the danger is incursions, universes crashing into each other, destroying each other. consciousness in that context is mostly about navigating these dangers, maybe exploiting the differences, but it's not creating the realities.
Right. It's more about traversal and survival within existing structures. What about his dark materials? That also has multiple worlds.
It does. And there, the connection is dust, which is explicitly linked to consciousness, thought, awareness. But accessing worlds involves cutting holes, and doing so damages things, lets dust escape.
So there's an ethical cost to crossing.
Absolutely. It emphasizes preserving consciousness, free thought, suggesting that carelessly breaching these boundaries is harmful to the fabric of reality, to consciousness itself.
Interesting. And then there's the big one recently, Everything Everywhere All at Once, EEAO.
Ah, EEAAO. Visually, it's got the literal multiverse hopping, the verse jumping. But many people read it more metaphorically, don't they?
Yeah, like the multiverse represents Evelyn's internal state, her feeling overwhelmed, fragmented, all the paths not taken.
Exactly. The verse jumping to gain skills feels symbolic, almost like accessing different parts of herself. And the big multiversal war is very clearly framed as her internal battle, her struggle with her family, nihilism versus connection.
So even though it looks literal, the meaning feels internal, psychological.
I think so. Which kind of points to a trend, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The multiverse isn't just a cool sci-fi concept anymore. It's becoming this powerful narrative tool.
A tool for what?
For exploring internal states, psychological drama, family issues like an EEAOO, or even societal critiques, you could argue. Some dystopian fiction uses parallel timelines for that. It externalizes internal or social conflicts onto this huge canvas.
So fiction is really taking the multiverse concept and running with it in all sorts of directions, from the literal action adventure to the deeply philosophical and metaphorical.
Yeah, the narrative possibilities seem, well, almost infinite.
So summing up, we've seen this evolution in fiction moving beyond just the physics idea of parallel worlds. It's digging into philosophy, spirituality.
Definitely. And while films like Doctor Strange give us that high-octane traversal and his dark materials raises ethical questions about consciousness, Fractal the Awakening really stakes out its own unique territory.
How would you summarize that unique path?
It shifts the whole game from external travel to internal transformation. It says the multiverse isn't out there separate from us. It's an inherent structure of consciousness itself. It's fractal. It's alive.
And navigating it isn't about technology or magic primarily, but about self-realization.
Exactly. It frames the multiverse as this grand stage for spiritual awakening, a way for the source, for fundamental reality, to experience itself through all possibilities. It's a path inward.
So ultimately, all these stories, whether they're treating the multiverse literally like Doctor Strange or metaphorically like parts of EEAO or philosophically like Fractal, they're all really grappling with the same deep human questions, aren't they?
Seems like it. Questions about reality, who we are, our purpose, the choices we make.
Right. And maybe they invite you, the listener, to think not just about how vast the universe or multiverse might be, but about the sheer depth and power of your own consciousness. Perhaps the biggest what if isn't about other worlds, but about the potential hidden within your own perception.
A provocative thought to end on. Maybe the greatest mysteries aren't out there in the cosmos, but right here, behind our eyes.
Something to think about. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.